Welcome to one of the most listened to music news podcasts in the world, SGNP, with your host, Darren Sutherland. Join us as we talk with industry leaders, artists, and entertainers about their faith, family, and careers. This is information you will not find anywhere else on radio, web, or in a magazine, but only firsthand on SGNP.
SGNP, Darren Sutherland, and my host is co-host as always, Arthur Rice. Arthur,
hello,
man. You got to be. You know, you had a huge. You were huge. You were busy last week, huh?
Yeah. Had a busy week, but it was good. It was a great week.
Busy week, National Quartet Convention, a lot of things going on, and
induction ceremony.
Induction ceremonies to the Hall of Fame. How'd that turn out?
Great. Good. Great. We had a great crowd. We raised a bunch of money, which we needed, and that was an incredible. God was good.
There you go.
To us.
There you go. You can't mention the Hall of Fame without people. Some people, I should say, some people fussing about it moving from Dollywood. Is there any rumors or anything you can throw out there? And I know you don't have a place yet, because if you did, you'd put a press release out. But anywhere close to finding a new home for the Southern Gospel Music Association?
We've had several people from around the country, you know, offer, you know, a place for us and I think talking with their board members, the board meeting, you know, we've collectively decided, which is a feat in itself to get any more than one person to decide on anything, to agree on anything, but we are going to try to our best to stay in this area, in the Pigeon Forge Sevierville area, simply because, you know, it's been here for so long, and, you know, it's a we have so many people that come in and so many gospel music folks that come in to town, and it's a, you know, it's a destination point. And so that's our goal, and we're working on some great things, and hopefully hope to have some really cool announcements very soon.
Man, speaking of announcements, one was made Friday before the quartet convention started on Sunday by our friend Les Butler, Butler Music Group, the old time preacher quartet, and you know, song promoter, and got his former editor of the Singing News. We got him coming on today to talk about real gospel, Arthur. How long have you known Les Butler?
Oh, it's been, gosh, I don't know, probably 25 years or so, I guess, something like that. It's been a while.
And Les has got his hand in a little bit of everything, and we'll talk to him right after the break. We'll come back. We'll talk about, not only talk to Les about his new venture, but we'll talk about gospel music as a whole and where it's at, and all other kind of fun things right here on SGNP. Remember, if you follow us on Facebook, Southern Gospel News Podcast, it's real easy to find. Just go in your Facebook app, type in Southern Gospel News Podcast. You can always listen to any of our 100. This is the 150th show, Arthur, number 150. Now, that means we've spent an hour with each other 150 times. And we're like two old hen pecked women now. We've actually, once we get to 160 hours, that will mean we have spent one full working month on the phone with each other. What about that?
Wow. Just about that?
Talking about gospel music. That'd be 160 shows, 160 hours, probably past that 160 hour mark on preparation and talking about what we're going to do and all that kind of stuff. We got some good shows coming up in the not so distant future that you're going to like. I'm not going to mention them on here because if I do, every time I mention one by name, it gets canceled. It falls through and something happens. But I can promise you this, this season of Gospel Music, Southern Gospel News Podcast is getting better and better and better. Got a big announcement coming up. We think in the next couple of weeks, we don't think, it's just a matter of putting it together and Arthur and I having the time to sit down. Arthur, I don't think people realize that a lot of times me and you are doing this in between jobs, you know?
I mean, I got a show in 10 minutes.
There we go. There we go. He's going to be singing on the stage at Dollywood in 10 minutes. So anyway, we'll be right back after this with Les Butler on SGNP.
This is Josh Singletary with Tribute Quartet, and you're listening to SGNP.
Hey, this is Darren, and I'm here for my buddy Mike Lindell in MyPillow. That's right, MyPillow. I got to tell you a little secret, and this is a true story. The other day I'm laying in a bed, I looked at Mary and I said, I'm going to get me some new pillows today. She said, what do you need with new pillows? You got them. I said, I got one that's decent, and I didn't know which one it was. I mean, I knew which one it was, and I pulled the cover off of it, and it was only my pillow. The rest of them were these ones that we bought from TJ Maxx or Target or Walmart or somewhere that just had worn out their welcome. And you know what, guys? I feel like I needed new pillows. And she said, well, why don't you call My Pillow because you like the one you got there, and tell them what you're looking for and they'll help you out. You know what I called, and guess what? They helped me out. They asked me what size I was. They asked me how I slept. Did I sleep on my back or on my side or on my stomach? What felt right? Feathers or, you know, blah, 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 foam. They asked me all these questions. More questions than I ever dreamed about a pillow, and I got my new MyPillow in the mail, and I've slept right. You want that change in your life? It's real simple. 1-800-338-2330. 1-800-338-2330. Use the code word SGNP. That's right, the code word SGNP. And tell them you heard about this special offer. And when you use that code, you'll get a great discount from the folks at MyPillow. I use MyPillow. You should too. 1-800-338-2330. Use the code SGNP. MyPillow, the official pillow
welcome once again
sleep
SGNP
provider of Southern Gospel News
Podcast. We said
right
before the break, had a great guest coming on. It's his second appearance on SGNP. He was on earlier
I think, talking about his group, the Old Time Preachers Quartet. But today, we're going to be talking more about his industry side than his quartet side. And Arthur, we got a good friend of yours on here today.
Yeah.
And you know what? Let me say this. If there's a man that knows the ins and outs and where the bodies are buried, it's this guy right here. I mean, yeah. You know, he let's see. He ran Family Music Group for the Crab Family back in the day. He was, when I first met him, it was when we were both employed by Salem Communications, and they sent this hotshot sales guy up to Nashville, and we sat down in a meeting, and the old guy was sitting there saying, you need to come up here and do this, da-da-da-da-da, and Les didn't know me from Adam's house cat, and he's sitting there wondering who this guy is, but I knew Les knew where the juice was with the Singing News magazine at the time. He left there and successfully has had his own label, his own gospel group, and helped promote countless groups to the number one ranking in the Singing News, if you call that the rankings or whatever it is these days, put it there. But Les Butler's with us. Les, how are you doing, my friend?
I'm doing well, Darren. Good to see you. Good to see you, Arthur.
Yes.
Yeah, you too.
Hey, and if you're wondering why, folks, he's saying good to see you, because we do this via Zoom. And me and Les can see each other because we're both good looking. Arthur, you know, has got to get ready to go somewhere, so he don't have his screen on. But that's another story coming for another day, and we'll announce
that. Face for radio.
That's right. Arthur, I have known this, and I'm going to give you a hard time about this before we get into our conversation with Les. And congratulations to you. But, man, you know, I know you've done radio interviews in the past, but I have to say, and I'm going to pat myself a little on the back here, because of SGNP, you're on every major gospel music audio panel that happens this day and time, no matter what it is. They say, let's go to Arthur Rice. So your commentary is becoming legendary, my friend. What do you think about that?
Well, okay.
It's the truth. It's the truth. I mean, well, it should be, because, you know, we don't mention this enough. You're the president of the Southern Gospel Music Association. You know the legends. You've been there. You've traveled the roads. You've sang in front of, arguably, you have sang before more individuals than any person in gospel music history there at Dollywood every single day, doing 3 concerts a day, 4 or 5 days a week. So I'm going to throw that out there. Let's move right along, because Arthur, you sing real gospel music. Les, I want you to tell the people, if the folks hadn't seen the video, and I know there's a lot of them that haven't, but tell them what you're up to and what you're launching and what you're doing. And Arthur and I are just going to sit back and listen while you take the stage. Fair enough?
Okay. All right. Well, this thing that I call Real Southern Gospel started in me. I would say I didn't know it was starting in me at the time, but as I look back, I can see that it started when I started the Old Time Preachers Quartet, which is a very traditional Southern Gospel quartet. And we would go into places, both small and large. I mean, small churches. We'd sing in front of 20 and 30 people. We went into large churches and sang in front of 1,000 and 1,500 at a time. We've done small events, almost like a family barbecue kind of thing, all the way up to Blue Gate Theater, Dollywood, main stage stuff at Dollywood, and so forth. So, you know, we've just done little, big, all of everything in between. And no matter where we were, be it the smallest of venues or the largest of venues, it was almost inevitable, if not inevitable, about every time we would have somebody or somebodies or families come up to us at the table, or to us in a pew, or in the parking lot, in the garage, or by our cars, and say, wow, man, that was fantastic. I thought what you guys do had gone away. Where in the world is Real Southern Gospel these days? We don't hear it when we turn on the radio, or seldom hear it. When we go to places to hear it, that's not Real Southern Gospel. What you guys just did is Real Southern Gospel. And honestly, for 6 years, we heard it every time we stepped out to sing, 3 and 4 or 5 days a week. And then with all of the things that I do on radio and through the label and working with other artists, I hear it with frequency. And it was really just started to stack up over this 6 years. And then finally, when I was put in the hospital with COVID and I was in ICU and told by doctors and nurses alike there toward the end that I would not be going home and that this was going to be the end, prepare for that, that it started to really sink into my spirit. If God should get me out of this, you know, is he talking to me here? What's he trying to tell me? Because he was talking to me. I had my iPad on from the very second I walked into the hospital to the second that an ambulance came to take me home. And I remained in my bed, which was really, they set up our bedroom like a hospital for me for months. And I never got out of my own bed at home. And so the Lord was talking to me through gospel music, through listening to preaching online, through reading his word. And there were a lot of personal things that he was talking to me about, and I'll keep those personal. But one of the things kind of corporately was this thing about real Southern gospel music. And so he really sowed that deep into my spirit, and I started thinking about it, praying about it. And so I just, whenever I finally got to where I could work again, I said, okay, I want to try to do something about it. I'm one man and I can't do this on my own, but Lord, you've put this into my spirit to do. And so I'm going to go and I'm going to leave the rest of it up to you. And so I'm doing everything that I know to do to try to keep real Southern gospel music alive and well. I look at it in two different categories. I say there is today's Southern gospel music, and then there is real Southern gospel music. That doesn't mean that I don't think that there isn't real Southern gospel music in today's Southern gospel, because there is. You hear the Kingdom Heirs, for example, whenever you turn on Southern gospel radio today. Well, the Kingdom Heirs, Greater Vision, Mark Trammell Quartet, they're the poster children for real Southern gospel music. I mean, the pure, legit stuff. And you hear them on the radio today, and you see them in venues and so forth. But there's a whole bunch of others out there doing it with excellence. I mean, great. And for whatever reason, they can't seem to get through the gates. And so I've just built another gate, and I don't have a lock on it. It's swung open, and I'm telling them to come over here. And so, you know, that's kind of at 30,000 feet, what's going on. You know, you've got, I've said it like this, and I think this really does paint a pretty strong picture. In country music, you know, anybody that wants to hear the music of Haggard, Jones, Strait, Statler Brothers, et cetera, they're not going to go hear Florida Georgia Line.
Yeah.
It's just not going to happen.
Exactly.
And I'm not saying that's right, that's wrong. I'm just simply stating a fact, like I'm looking down here at my feet and I see shoes on my feet. It's a fact. I'm wearing shoes. So it's a fact that folks that love the really pure, traditional, real, what I'm classifying, only because that's the word and the phrase that kept coming to me from the fan base, saying, where is real Southern gospel music? What happened to real Southern gospel music? So I've grabbed onto that nomenclature. And because of that, the folks that want to go hear, you know, like an old time preacher's quartet or Kingdom Heirs, not all of them want to go hear some of the things that's going on in today's Southern gospel music. And it was underscored last week when I was at the National Quartet Convention and walking through the halls, and some of the conversations that I heard while walking through the halls from people that I don't know, I've never met, and I don't know them right to this day. But as I'm standing in line waiting for hot dogs and drinks and this, that, and the other, and friends are talking to each other, I was hearing everything. I was hearing everything from, boy, this is great, and boy, this is my favorite, and I love them, and that, to, we're never coming back again. What I heard in there is not gospel music. I don't know what it is. And so there is, it's a fact. There are those who like the stuff that's going on in today's Southern gospel music. there are those who don't. And so what I'm doing isn't replacing anything. I'm just trying to be an alternative to those who are walking out of the venues today and saying they're never coming back, to give them a place to go and to go venue-wise, church-wise, concert-wise, radio-wise, and be sure that we don't lose them for forever from our world of Southern gospel music. So this is an alternative. It's not replacing anything. And it's not a me versus them. Everybody that I know of that was on that main stage in Southern in NQC last week, everybody that did what the fan base is classifying as real Southern gospel, and those who did the today Southern gospel stuff, every last one of them are my friends. And I think if I had a flat tire, I could call any one of them, they would help me. And I know for a fact, if they called me, I would be, I'd say, Darren, we got to make this interview quick. I've got to go help, you know, fill in the blank. He needs my help. So it's not a me versus them. This is an alternative. This is in addition to what's going on in our today's Southern gospel world.
Cool. Arthur, what you got?
Well, it kind of, you touched on it a minute ago. You know, it's not just Southern gospel. It's country's the same way. You know, it's like, you know, my son listens to country music and I listen to it and I'm like, that's not country music to me, but he likes it. You know, he likes it and I don't. So,
yeah.
You know, so it's kind of the same thing and kind of the same kind of thing. You know, we that was kind of our choice years ago, was, you know, what are we going to do? Do we keep doing traditional quartet? Our thing was to kind of push the envelope a little bit music wise, but keep the basics of what we do, the quartet style, the true Southern gospel quartet style, and intact. And that's what people, I think, have liked about us is over the years as we've stayed true to that. I agree with you. I think there's room for all of it. And there's a place for all of it.
Yeah.
Guys, I want to parallel this because all of us are the same genre between 50 and 65, whatever age we are. We're all, Les, what do you say to those? I'm going to play devil's advocate with you for a little bit. What do you say to those that, Les, you helped, in essence, usher in this new gospel music back in the day with great groups that I love and you love, like the Crab Family, and you helped usher it in, but now you're pulling back. And maybe it's because you guys, because look, guys, I'm a Cathedrals guy, just like all three of us. Okay. But guess what? There were people who were statesmen and Blackwood folks that wasn't Cathedrals folks because they used more than just the piano to play. You follow what I'm saying?
Yeah.
What do we say to folks, Les, that are saying, man, you guys are just old?
You know what?
It is real Southern gospel now.
I'm glad you asked me that question. Nobody has. And I want to answer it. That's a good one.
Yeah.
I'm going to go back using the Crab Family, for example. I was with them early on.
Yeah.
Even played in their band early on and in management. Mm-hmm. And I emceed every single Crab Fest event that they had. Every single one from the first to the last. When they came on board, they were very traditional Southern gospel music.
Mm-hmm.
If you listen to those first albums, there wasn't anything edgy on them at all. As a matter of fact, I can recall, I forget exactly the song. I think it may have been That's No Mountain. About maybe four or five records into their career, I got a call from Kathy Crabb at about 2 a.m, which, by the way, was very common. She never sleeps. God bless her. She is, when I grow up, I want to be Kathy Crabb. I'll just say it like that. She's marvelous and smart and
awesome.
Wonderful. But so anyway, I get a call about 2 a.m. and I'm going, hello. and they are listening to a mix of this new album. And this song comes on and there's a saxophone in it. And she said, you got to listen to this. And so he turned it up. I listened to it. And then her question to me was, are we going to get kicked out of Southern gospel music? Is this the end for the Crabb family? And I said, no, I don't think so, given what I just heard. But I mean, watch kind of where you're going and what's the next thing and that kind of thing. So anyway, and so they continue to grow what they did musically. And obviously today, they all go all kinds of different directions. But you asked me, you made the statement of you helped to usher some of this in. My comment to that is no, I didn't, because at such time as the line started to be going over,
okay,
guess who bowed out?
Les Butler.
Me.
There you go. Now, that's awesome to know, because see, people like me, who I think I'm pretty close to the industry, didn't know that. Yeah. So I'm glad I asked the question.
I tapped out because I saw the direction, and it was a direction, A, that I didn't want to go, and B, and more importantly to them, I couldn't help them get there, because that's not my area of expertise. That's not my sphere of expertise. And so I had to bow out for their benefit. And again, we are great friends to this day.
Yeah.
Period. I mean, there's simply no issue at all.
Yeah.
And so, but no, I didn't help to usher it in. Oh, brother Les tapped out and jumped out of the boat.
You know, people wanted to know that answer, though. That's why I asked the question. Yeah.
There you go, folks.
There you go.
Yeah. Live and in living color right here.
Good job. Arthur, what you got?
Yeah, that you know, when they did first come on, you know, you go back and listen to their stuff. It is pretty good. It was really very traditional. Southern. And
go back to the second part of my question. As my parents and my grandparents would say, the cathedrals were not traditional Southern gospel, because they added a bass guitar, they added drum sets. When they did Live from London with the greatest orchestration for hymns I ever heard from any gospel group there ever was, they said, my parents said, that's great praise music, that's great hymn music, but that's not Southern gospel, because they were Statesmen, Blackwoods fans like that. They said, no, that's Imperial's Light is what they, I can remember the statement being from those folks. What do you say to folks that says, Les, maybe what you're thinking, you're just old? I mean, because that's what I used to think of my parents when they said that about the cathedrals or Gold City or even Arthur with the Kingsmen back in the day. Arthur, did you ever hear them arguments when y'all had that full band, that you're not real Southern gospel because y'all got a full band? Because I remember if history serves me correctly, the Hensons got in a lot of trouble for that, you know, for bringing that stuff in. And I'm just drawing some parallels, guys. That's all I'm doing here.
You know, you know, our music, you know, life is a circle. You know, if we look back, you know, the 70s, mid 70s, we went through the same thing. The 90s, we went through the same thing where the traditional, you know, people are searching for what works. You know, it kind of, but I think that's what, I think part of that is Les is trying to get across is, the traditional stays. I mean, it you know, a lot of it is fad. It's for the moment. And, you know, you can go back 20 or 30, 40 years and it stays the same. Even if you add more music or anything, it's the traditional sound of what Southern gospel is. And I think that's the thing is it lasts.
Yeah. Good. Awesome. Awesome. You know, let me ask you a radio question, Les, because I've always felt this way, and you'll understand this question more than Arthur will. And, you know, when you come out with real Southern gospel, and I'm going to be a listener, because let me tell you why I'm going to be a listener. If you go to my office upstairs and you say, Darren, what do you listen to during the day? I'm either listening to gospel music, the primitive, or I'm listening to WSM. And I'm in Atlanta, Georgia, and I listen through my Alexa, and that's what I listen to. Okay. I was at a fair, North Georgia State Fair last week. One Friday night, they had Chris Lane there, and Saturday night they had Mark Wills. Well, Mark Wills outdrew Chris Lane. Chris Lane's the new guy. So, you know, I believe there's an audience there, but let's talk radio for an instant.
Let me hold on. Go ahead. Can I jump in real quick?
Please.
I want to tag team onto something you just said.
Okay.
Larry's Country Diner.
Yeah.
He's proven that this audience is out there.
Yeah.
He will create a cruise with these classic country artists and sell out in 2 minutes. He will go to Branson to a 2,000 seat auditorium and sell out in 5 minutes. So that tells me that there's still ticket buyers for the traditional stuff. There are still music buyers for the traditional stuff. And let's take a look as it pertains to radio. Willie's Roadhouse. Hello.
Yeah.
Talk to anybody that works at XM and on the country music side, they're going to tell you Willie's Roadhouse. Those numbers are killing. Absolutely fantastic. And who do you hear on Willie's Roadhouse? Well, no. Who don't you hear on Willie's Roadhouse? Today's country music.
Right. Right. Mm-hmm. Do you feel with the state, and we could do a whole nother show on this, and maybe we'll do it later, and I'd love to bring you back. You know radio like the back of your hand. Do you feel like Southern gospel can have these two art forms of music and still have a large enough audience in specific areas to support both?
I think so. That's the first half of my answer. The second half is I'm about to find out.
I like that answer. I like that answer.
It is happening in all other genres of music, but Christian music isn't as, you know, as a whole, isn't as big as country or isn't as big as pop. So is there a large enough piece of both slices of this small pie to make it work for everyone? I honestly don't know. My gut tells me yes, but I am putting my money where my mouth is, and I'm out here on a ledge all by myself. And hey, you know, if it doesn't work out, I'm a personal guy. I can be a Walmart greeter as good as the next guy. It's all good. But I just felt like, and again, laying in the hospital there, the Lord was just absolutely moving me this direction. And there's just no other way for me to say it, but to say it like that. And that is to stand up for traditional Southern gospel music, which is all I've known for almost 60 years. And I know what it's done for me on a personal level, on a spiritual level, the days in the valley that it's got me out of the valley, the days when I needed the rod of correction applied and a song applied that along with the preached word of God. And those things went hand in hand. And I know what it's done for me on a spiritual level for 60 years. And I just couldn't stand to see that go away for the next generation that could use the benefit of this traditional sound, traditional look, traditional lyric, traditional arrangement, and in your face, Bible breathed lyrics.
Mm-hmm. Wow. I love that answer. I mm-hmm. absolutely do.
Mm-hmm. I hope others join me because I can't do this on my own. Yeah. All things work together for those who love the Lord. And so I'm relying and leaning on him. But you know how we get things done in God's economy. He gets his work done through people. Mm-hmm. And so I'm waiting for others to join me, and they either will join me or they won't join me. And if they do, I think we can make this happen. If they don't, I'll see you at Walmart, and you'll see me at church on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. That doesn't mean I would lay down the cross on my walk with Christ, because that's not going to happen. But I can jump on the horse and ride off into the sunset as it relates to my 43 years in this industry, and know that I've done everything that I know to do to keep real Southern gospel music alive and well.
There you have it.
Wow, great.
There you have it.
That's good.
There you have it. I wish you all the success in the world, my friend, because, I used to tell folks this, and here's what I've never understood, and this goes back to my question about my thought about radio. You know, we see what CCM has done in certain markets, okay? And you can't fault the numbers. I mean, there's a corporation like you and I talked about earlier that we both worked for that made their money in CCM music. They dabbled in Southern gospel for a little bit, but we probably both got our reasons that they didn't make it. But you know what? They're also, Christian music also stands to lose a little bit of audience, I believe, from what you're playing. Because in the CCM world now, hey, same thing's happening. They're not playing Stephen Curtis Chapman. They're not playing Michael W. Smith. They're not playing Third Day anymore. They're all new guys. There's a place for them. So each generation passes.
Yeah.
People love what they love. And hey, basically for everybody that says less is crazy, I remember when Bill Gaither grabbed about eight men and women in a studio one night and one afternoon in Nashville, named Glenn and George and Hovey and Vestal and all those kind of people. And they sat around a piano. And next thing you know, an industry for the next 20 years was created from folks that had basically retired. So,
well, let me say this.
Yeah.
I am not Bill Gaither.
Yeah.
However, I do know Bill Gaither's best friend because he's my best friend.
Yeah.
The Lord Jesus Christ.
Exactly.
And the Lord can help me do this. But trust me when I say, I am no Bill Gaither.
If you
he is my friend and I am his friend, but I am no Bill Gaither.
There you go. You know, we all look up to the Godfather is what I call it. The Godfather of Christian music. Arthur, you got anything else? I know you got to get out of here, my man. Arthur's out here. Arthur had to run to a doctor's appointment. Les, we'll cut it short right here, my friend. Thank you for your time. Have I not asked you anything? Is there anything you want to add out there? And I watched your live announcement. My wife.
Sorry, my ears died. Sorry.
Your ears died. Okay. I thought
yeah,
you
I, got it.
Sorry. I done told everybody your personal business and said you had to run to a doctor's appointment.
So well,
got,
I do.
So you got 20,000 grandmas praying for you right now, and they don't even know
Thank
what they're
you.
Praying for. They're just Thank saying, you, Lord, heal Arthur. Lord, heal yeah. Arthur. Yeah. So anyway. So
absolutely.
You got anything for Les before we get out of here, my friend?
Hey, man, I love you, buddy. I appreciate what you're doing and be praying for you. You know, that's the best thing that any of us can do. You know, we all succeed and it takes us all. And I just am behind you and praying for you.
Thank you. I appreciate it, Arthur. Appreciate it. Thank you.
We'll be praying for him. We'll be lifting it up and we'll be listening and we will be letting you listeners know more and more about Real Southern Gospel. Les, you mentioned there's a petition out there and it's not a petition of hey, I like this and I don't like this. It's just a petition.
No, no, no.
It's just a petition saying, hey, I'm going to support you and I love Real Southern Gospel. Tell the folks about that, Les, and where they can find out more information. And this thing is growing by the day, okay? So just pay attention to Les. I'm sure he's got some information that he can pass along where you can find out updates from time to time. Les, what you got?
Well, I've borrowed something that President Trump brought to the table when he said, let's make America great again. I'm saying, let's make Real Southern Gospel great again. And that's what the petition is for. And you can find it at realsoutherngospel.com, realsoutherngospel.com. And, this is radio is kind of my first phase of this. Well, there's actually two phases going on at the same time. And that is my label. I have added to the Butler Music Group and Family Music Group family of labels. I've added Real Southern Gospel as a label. The new Williamson's album will be the first one released on that. I am working on an instrumental album featuring Southern Gospel musicians, and it is really turning out fantastic. Mm-hmm. And so that'll be the second album. And then I am one person shy of making a really, really cool announcement. And so I'm working hard on yet a third project. So the label and radio, those are the first two legs of the journey for me. And if the Lord will help us on January 3rd, I'll go live with the Real Southern Gospel Radio stream, the app, and literally the the night that I made the announcement for this, I'm doing the show, making the live announcement, and I'm getting an email in from someone that I don't know. And I finished my show and I got a text on my phone from somebody I don't know. And it's late. I've been working 16 hours. I'm walking to my couch. This pops up on my phone. I sit down. I say, I'm going to deal with this tomorrow. But I thought, okay, if somebody's texting me at 10 o'clock at night, and I've just done what I've done on my live show on Facebook and YouTube, maybe I need to call. And so I did. And this person answered the phone and said, I want to be your first affiliate. So if all goes well, January 3rd, the stream, the app, and we actually go to terrestrial radio right out of the gate. So terrestrial radio, all of the radio properties, the label, and then the next part of the journey will be to have a talent agency that will work with these traditional artists and put them into especially churches that I've amassed over the last 6 years with the Old Time Preachers Quartet, who have come to me saying, listen, we can't bring in what we hear on the radio with few exceptions today. Can you help us find people that'll help us with our churches and what we want to do? And so I'm going to put venues and artists together through this talent agency. And plus we will do, if the Lord will help us, some standalone events. I'm talking about, I'm not talking about, you know, another quartet convention or none of that kind of stuff. I'm talking about having a group of real Southern gospel artists go into a town with a church and do a Saturday night together, that kind of thing. So we're not looking at doing multi-day events, and that's not on our screen whatsoever, but doing those type of events. Maybe a real Southern gospel cruise that would be toward the end of the last phase. And the last phase might be doing an e-zine online where people can go to one source online and get information and articles and in-depth articles and interviews and things with some of the real Southern gospel artists that are out there today, some of whom they know, some they don't know because for whatever reason, they can't get through the gate, but they are quality vocalists, quality writers, quality ministers. And we're going to try to bring them to the table. So that's the last phase, that that would be the e-zine. And then finally, the last thing that I would like to say, and probably should have been the first thing, but I was going off of your cue and answering your questions. I've got a board of advisors that, as I just sit and look at it, I sit back in my chair and go, how in the world did this even happen? I'm blown away by the folks that the Lord has brought my way that says, you know what, Les? We get it. We're with you. I want to help you. Folks like Don Reed. He is a country music and gospel music Hall of Famer, lead singer of the Statler Brothers for 40 years. He said, we're friends. And I shared it with him. He said, you're spot on. What can I do? Whoa. Jim Cumbie, who brought me to Nashville back in the 90s. You know Jim. He was he ended up he owned the Solid Gospel Radio Network, sold it to Salem. They kept it Solid Gospel. Then he helped negotiate the purchase of the Singing News from Maurice Templeton, brought it into Salem, and then through all of that, I ended up being the publisher of the magazine for years. Ran the Solid Gospel Radio Network. It is now known as the Singing News Network. But he understands real Southern gospel music. He's is my friend, and he puts a lot of trust and faith in me, and I don't want to let him down, and he's part of the advisory board. Eddie Crook, I mean, wow, you know, Eddie Crook has produced everybody in Southern gospel music. He's probably got more number ones than any other producer in the history of our music. He knows what he's talking about. He understands and knows real Southern gospel music. Paul Belcher, one of the top promoters in our industry, a supporter of real Southern gospel music. He probably promotes more of what we look at as the real stuff more than any other promoter in gospel music. And Donnie Williamson of the Williamsons, just a great friend of mine. He's a a good businessman. He owns businesses in Oklahoma, has a good business head, understands and knows real Southern gospel music. And then finally, a pastor friend of mine, Dr. John Smith of Taze Valley Baptist Church, smart, godly man, wonderful preacher, gets it. He's one of the many pastors that came up to me and said, Les, help me get some people into our church that won't offend our church. And I'm talking about, we go there and sing to 1,000 people when we go to his church. And he's asking me, help me to get some people, some artists in here that'll work with us to do the kind of stuff that you do. And there are hundreds, if not thousands, of churches that have kind of shut down on Southern gospel music because they don't get their version of Southern gospel music, which is the more traditional side.
Gotcha.
And so that's my advisory board. And holy smokes, again, as I sit here and look at it, I'm like, how did this happen?
Well, you know what? I think of a couple stories in the Bible that kind of remind me of this. Number one, there was a little boy carried a few loaves of bread and some fishes up on a hilltop.
Yeah.
Fed thousands. And, you know, no doubt you're going to feed thousands with what you're about to do, Les. And, you know what? God gets glory out of every situation. And, I know I prayed for you during this COVID period. I know a lot of other people in the gospel music industry did, too.
Yes.
And God's going to get glory out of it just by your vision. And where there's no vision, people perish. And, hey, there's room at the table for everybody. Les Butler.
We're an alternative. We're not replacing. We're an alternative.
Yeah, I love how you said that, too. And I noticed that the first night. And I hope people pay attention to that word. They're an alternative because there's room at the table for everybody. And if you don't think there's room at the table for everyone, don't go on a mission trip to Romania or Africa, because I promise you, they may sing their own brand of gospel music over there that you may never identify with. So anyway, let's start.
Darren, 30 more seconds. Is that okay?
Yeah, as much time as you need.
Please, if you haven't already, go to facebook.com and like the Live with Les page. Every week I go on and do typically a 2-hour show that's about real Southern gospel music, and I'll have guests on. We'll do video chats and phone calls, and I'll play old vinyl, plus I'll play the new stuff that's real Southern gospel, and it's really cool. So go like the Live with Les page on Facebook, and please like my YouTube channel, which is Real Southern Gospel. Go and subscribe to that. Click on the little bell, and then every time that we go on live, it will give you a prompt, and you'll know that I'm live. As a matter of fact, and I know this isn't going to be, you're not airing this today, but tonight I have a Live with Les. And so we do it once a week, sometimes twice a week. Sometimes I'll do a surprise live. Yeah. So like the Live with Les Facebook page and subscribe to Real Southern Gospel on YouTube. And Darren, Arthur, thank you so much for allowing me the opportunity to share my heart on this Real Southern Gospel stuff. We're not replacing. It's an alternative. There's a place for all of us. I just want to, although some of the folks that came out of the NQC last week and I overheard them talking, saying, I'm never coming back again. We don't want to lose them. We want to keep them. And I'm going to try to build a place where they can come and hear what they think Southern gospel music is. And so we're an alternative. Pray for us.
We'll do it. And hey, folks, he didn't mention this, but he'll throw a little Les grass in there, too.
You know I will.
And if you want to know what Les grass is, just figure it out on your own. He'll do it. He's Les Butler. We'll be back on SGNB.
Time on earth will end. The church needs great revival to reach the souls of men. Another man-made method will never take the place of power sent from heaven by the Holy Ghost through faith. What we need is fire in the pulpit, convey. down in the pew. Tears on the altar and the hand of God to move. Love for the Bible, hatred of sin, and saints who live for Jesus till Jesus comes again. A fresh anointing will come to humble hearts, awakening our spirit to press on toward the mark. So pray with old-time fervor that glory will come down, and life-changing manna will be showered all. What we need is fire in the pulpit, conviction in the pew, tears on the altar, and the hand of God to move. Love for the Bible, hatred of sin, and saints who live for Jesus till Jesus comes again. What we need is fire in the pulpit, conviction in the pew, tears on the altar, and the hand of God to move. Love for the Bible, hatred of sin.
Yeah. Yep. Good.
You know, I'm going to be the first to say this. Okay. Mm-hmm. The businessman in me says tough road, tough road. The spiritual man in me says, Lord said, do it. He better do it.
That's what, right. Do you think? That's right. Absolutely. Absolutely.
I mean, good stuff. And all our prayers are with Les and his staff on being a leader in the industry. Hey,
absolutely.
Yep. NQC has come and gone. Les made some references there in his interview, interview, that he heard some people say they didn't like it. Other people said they love it, blah, 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 blah. And we'll get Clark Beasley on the phone before long, and we'll talk about NQC in detail. But Arthur, from a group's perspective, from Arthur Rice, the lead singer of the Kingdom Heirs, what's people saying to you about NQC, and what were some of the highlights for you this week at NQC?
You know, I really didn't have any complaints at all, which is pretty interesting. Usually you can't make anybody, you know, everybody happy. Yeah. So there's always going to be a few that doesn't like something. It's just our nature, you know. And but I really didn't have any complaints that I can remember that stood out. But I thought it was a great week. I thought everybody was excited to kind of, you know, everybody there was excited to be there.
Yeah.
And, because we've been shut down for so long and just everybody's scared to death of doing everything. And so I felt there was an electricity in the air that I thought was great, and it was contagious, and I loved it, and I just loved the atmosphere. I just thought it was great.
To those that say, Darren, you do this Southern Gospel podcast and talk to folks all the time, where were you at? Arthur, I basically had another event that controls my livelihood that I had to be at. And, you know, mm-hmm. there's groups out there that don't go to NQC because, hey, they got other events that control their livelihoods. And it is what it is. I know just from watching social media, there were some folks that didn't like the new Singing News Fan Awards and how they were held out. And you know what? So be it. I mean, it's like you said, everybody's not going to like everything about it. I guarantee you, if they change it again, there'll be some people that don't like the way they change it. You know, let me just say this. We as middle-aged folks don't like change to begin with, okay? It's just the way it goes. I mean, and if you think you don't like change, think about this. Why are there so many churches on every hill that hold 200 people at the most? Okay. I mean, drive up and down the, you know.
Well, and that, you know,
go ahead.
That's a good point. You know, it's funny, you know, at NQC, my biggest, you know, now that's not to say that I didn't hear any complaints. Now, I just didn't hear any complaints about NQC. My biggest complaints were people coming up wanting to know why a Dollywood changed the Harvest Festival so much, why there's not as many gospel groups, why it's you know, why they spread out the gospel through the year and not just, you know, for 20 some years, you know, this month has kind of been our month, you know, it's Southern right. Gospel Month, you know, here at Dollywood, they don't understand it. And, you know, I try to explain to them, you know, most of these events are planned a year in advance. Well, where were we at last year this time? We were right in the middle of this pandemic. We didn't know if it was going to end. We didn't know what was going to happen. We didn't know if we were even going to be open, you know. So how do you plan for that, you know? And artists weren't touring. They didn't know if they were going to be touring. So you can't book anybody. I mean, it's just a different, you know, last year was just an unprecedented year. And you just have to, you know, give them a little bit of grace. You know, they're doing the best they can. They, you know, when you don't even know if you're going to be open, how do you budget for that? So,
right.
You know, I have no doubt that this time next year, it'll be back to normal, good Lord willing, if we can get out of this thing and move on, you know, things will return to normal. But, you know, people forget, you know, in a year's time, what we've been through. So that was my big complaint that I got from people.
I was on this Southern Gospel Facebook site. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you can find a lot of good stuff on Facebook. You can also find a lot of yah-yah that's not worth listening to. And a lady made a statement that she didn't like NQC anymore because they were all in it for the money. And Arthur, you know how I just stuck my foot out and I answered this question. I said, ma'am, I said, no doubt you love the Lord because you're listening to gospel music. But I promise you this, 99% of the people singing gospel music are singing it because they love gospel music. Because if they were doing it for money, they would have chose a different art form of music to sing about, because they ain't getting rich singing gospel music. You guys work, I mean, you guys work very hard, work 2 and 3 jobs. You know, folks don't realize this. Arthur Rice not only sings with the Kingdom Heirs, but he works in the studio and in part times it at golf courses and works with his wife and her business besides doing this podcast. And God knows you're getting rich doing this podcast, just like I am. So anyway, it is what it is.
Exactly.
Can't make everybody happy all the time. Well, man, I know you've got to get there on stage and sing. Thanks, Les Beasley Les Butler. Thanks, Les. Now talk about rich. That's a story for another day, right there. Yeah. Okay,
he is now.
Yeah, that's right. That's what he was then. But anyway, that's a story for another day. But anyway, great man of God. We should be just kidding, Clark, about your daddy. Good fella. Les Butler, thank you for your time today. Arthur, last question we always ask.
Yep.
What's wrong with living right anyway?
Hey, not a thing.
We'll talk to you next week on SGNP.
We see the day approaching when our time on earth will end. The church needs great revival to reach the souls of men. Another man-made method will never take the place of power sent from heaven by the Holy Ghost through faith. What we need is fire in the pulpit, conviction in the pew, tears on the altar, and the hand of God to move. Love for the Bible, hatred of sin, and saints who live for Jesus till Jesus comes again. A fresh anointing will come to humble hearts, awakening our spirit to press on toward the mark. So pray with old time fervor that glory will come down, and life changing manna will be showered all. What we need is fire in the pulpit, conviction in the pew, tears on the altar, and the hand of God to move. Love for the Bible, hatred of sin, and saints who live for Jesus till Jesus comes again.
What we need is fire in the pulpit, conviction in the pew, tears on the altar, and the hand of God to move. Love for the Bible, hatred of sin,
SGNP is excited you chose to listen today. If you'd kindly leave a remark and rating in the podcast remarks section, we surely would appreciate it. Please share with a friend or family member. Look for us on Facebook, Twitter, and our new website, SouthernGospelNewsPodcast.com. To advertise your products, services, concert event, or new project on SGNP and reach a 100% guaranteed number of people in your area, call Tim Newton at 770-874-3200 or email him today, tnewton@bgadgroup.com. Let us geo-target our ads for you, something radio nor magazine can do.